Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host with me, Barbara. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Now, our guest today is LJ the Medium. Now, this is interesting because, you know, you had a spinal injury, and I think it was around 2013, it says here. And, you know, did you, and I noticed that Barbara, before she came on, was reading your bio. Now, Barbara, is there anything you wanted to say about this or what you read? Or?
Sure. I just was reading through, and then I read how you went through such a life-changing experience from something that was very traumatic. And I know this happens so often. It happened with me with an accident almost a year ago, and then now experiencing just a few days ago, a very close friend having an accident and seeing the trauma and seeing what she's going through is so traumatic for me. But I'm not right now seeing the positive of that yet. But could you tell us about what happened with your experience and how your traumatic experience changed your life? And then tell me if I can expect a change for her. And also,
okay,
like, kind of why we get so, I mean, of course, you know, why we're depressed. It's hard, and it's draining to see in the hospital and all of your hope and your devastation, and then something good happens, and then you're so happy, but yet, you know, you're basically, life has fallen apart, and your schedule's all messed up, and, you know, you're not getting your things done, and it's affecting so much. So how that all worked with you, and then if you can feel me and my friend, how it will be working
sure.
for us.
Okay, sure. Well, one, I just want to say thank you, Barbara, and thank you, Jonathan, for having me on the show tonight. So I really appreciate that you asked me to join you guys. So I'm happy to be here. So I just want to say that.
Oh, we're happy to have you.
Thank you. And it's hard, you know, because, you know, to share the story, but the reason why I like to share my story or like to be invited to go ahead and talk about it is because I think it's something that we can all connect with or resonate with, right? We've all had some type of pain or trauma, physical, mental, or emotional that kind of changes, you know, our life path. So, one, I'm really sorry to hear about your friend or anyone that's going through anything. I always keep people in my healing and my thoughts. Because I could say, you know, I've been there. And when you talk to someone who really understands, I pretty much got hurt in 2013. I was, you know, working. I was, you know, in my 20s. I had just gotten married. I just came back from my honeymoon. So as you said, like, things are absolutely, you know, amazing. You're thinking, okay, we're moving into this home. We have our whole life together. And I would say about 2 weeks after the honeymoon, we get back. And that's when I hurt my spine. And pretty much going from, you know, thinking about being, you know, a newlywed wife to decorating my home to planning for children, pretty much just got shattered. And again,
whoa,
it's like what I was mentioning before the show. It's like you have your hopes and you have your dreams, and it's, you know, I could not take care of myself. So just taking you back a little bit, it's like I could not walk. I needed multiple surgeries, which I know you read the bio. So I had three altogether in spine surgeries.
Wow.
So, you know,
when you woke up from the injury, is that when then you did the surgery, or can they do surgery? Were you out, or did you come back to consciousness? Because
right.
I had to read it really quickly.
Right. So I was in severe pain. I was working. It was just like a freak accident. And the pain was instant. The pain was just like, oh, my God. So it just happened so fast. But my surgery, I had emergency surgery. It wasn't that night. I would say it was approximately 3 months later, because they tried to give me injections and try, you know, there was other alternatives that they were trying to do. But then when I got to the point, I was in a wheelchair and I couldn't walk and I had no feeling in my leg, that at that point the doctor's like, I'm sending you to the hospital right now, because they didn't want to risk like permanent, you know, paralysis. or anything like that. So it was a matter of, like, we need to do this now, because I couldn't feel anything on my right side. So it just, like I said, everything happened so fast. You know, you're now bedridden. You can't get up to go to the bathroom by yourself. You can't put your clothes on. So it was like life altering. And here I am. I have a wonderful, you know, husband. We had just been married a couple weeks, but he came from a home where, you know, things were done for him. And I'm Italian, so I'm a very old traditional, I come from an old traditional family where the wife cooks and cleans. And here I was, like, I couldn't do anything. Nothing
wow.
at all. He had to,
so this was a big test to being a husband, right? Like, for better or for worse, like right off bat there. Wow.
Totally. So it was, we both were. I say it happened to me, but it happened to him, just like this has happened to your friend. But you love your friend, so it does take a toll. So our lives, that's just the beginning of it. I mean, it's been a crazy 7-year journey, but that's basically the beginning of it. It was, you basically have to learn how to live again. And here you are, it's like, you know, everyone says, oh, the honeymoon phase, we kind of got the honeymoon and then we came back and, you know, everything. Cause now you're making alterations to your home. That second income you have is no longer there. So, you know, your whole life changes, and it's all because of pain, you know, it's all because of
and
pain.
And children, and you were excited to have children. So you're probably worried about how is that going to affect that part of your body.
I was worried about all that. Unfortunately, that's not the route life has taken us, but I know I'm fast forwarding, but I always like to say when people ask me about the children, I don't have children, but I did give the miracle of life because I donated my kidney about 2 years ago.
Oh, yes.
So
that's wonderful.
And the life has just an amazing way of working itself out. So, you know, when we're going through the life, Barbara, you know, we're kind of like, what's going to happen? You know, what's our purpose? Where do we go from here? You know, we don't always see it. It's not always obvious. It's not always clear. But that's why I like to share my story, because had you told me 7 years ago I would be a medium or I would be a kidney donor, I would be like, there's no way, right? So I always say, and especially to you and your friend, you know, just to continue to stay positive, because we don't know what the plan is right now, but I do believe if you continue to be strong, you know, your mind and body, I believe there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is a purpose to all of this pain is what I believe. And that's what I go around sharing my story, because if I can come back from where I was, I believe anybody can.
Yes, definitely. And that is a belief of mine too. So I know that I will find a reason. But she, more importantly, I need to open her eyes to this as well and find the reason why this happened, because this person is accident prone, but this is the worst of all the accidents. And she's in the neurological unit at the hospital, but thank goodness yesterday she started speaking. So thank goodness.
Okay.
And she can move, she can sit up and all of that, but it's going to be a long road straight to the physical therapy center.
Does she have to do rehab to like kind of learn to get around? Because I feel a lot of weakness connected to her, like very, just a lot of weakness.
Okay. Yes, definitely. And this has only been 3 days now. So they said she's not going to get out of the hospital and go home. She's getting out of the hospital to go to a rehabilitation center. And this person is a young, active, athletic, person with a little dog. Now I'm taking care of the dog, and you know, I'm bringing the dog every day to the hospital, which I think is so wonderful that they let me do that, because it's therapeutic for both of them.
But
it's the not knowing. It's like not knowing how is this going to affect the brain, the head injuries that she's endured. How, you know, we don't know yet. So that's a long road, and it brings me a lot of stress, because this has been my best friend for almost 30 years. And then I thought, I don't think now I have lost her, because sometimes, you know, even if they don't pass away, but a head injury can really change a person's personality completely. And I don't think that is going to be the case on this one, but I was devastated last, or 2 nights ago, I just cried myself to sleep, and I've then take care of my daughter, and then I go back home and go to sleep, and I don't have days, and so that's bringing me into a depression. But the thing is, when I thought that I was losing or could lose the same brain that was in this person, like if I'm going to lose that person that way,
right,
that was devastating, because this person knows me better than anybody in the entire world, and we've shared
right.
so much. We're like sisters, and
right.
that has really drained me. I'll be okay, because, you know, I'm not the one who's going to the rehabilitation center. I'll be okay in a few days, but now I want to know, okay, you feel a lot of weakness. That's obvious with her, the weakness, but do you see a rainbow at the end of the tunnel with her, with this whole thing?
I do, and it's interesting you said that. Well, one, I want to say, you know, head injury, any type of physical injury will take a toll on anyone's personality. I do have to, I just have to shine some light on that, because you're not the same, and the people that see you one way now see you a completely different way. So I do want to say, you know, it's nice that you both have this friendship, or you're like sisters, so you know what she's really like, so you know that's not her right now. But it's, and sometimes we say things, or sometimes we feel a certain way when we're in pain, but knowing that, you know, she has you by her side, and just not taking what she's going through personal, because I'm sure she doesn't want you to feel sad, and you don't want her to feel pain. But yeah, what I was, and I also wanted to say that the dog was a great idea, because my dog was like my savior going through all of this. So I'm really glad that you're able to bring the dog there. Like I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for my dog, like being there for me every single day. So I wish every hospital or places would allow it. So I would say continue to do that, because they're just natural healers.
Can I tell her the story about my dentist?
Sure.
I have a dentist.
That's a cute story.
And her name is Dr. Orr, and it's so interesting, is she is the only dentist I've ever been to that has a therapy dog with her. Her dog she has a dog, and the dog wears a little shirt on it that says the Tooth Fairy. She'll be working on your teeth, and then the dog will be in the room with you, and, you know, will just stare at you, you know? And
right.
I mean, it's actually very, very therapeutic in a way, because, you know, it's like amazing to talk to this dog, and, you know, it was very therapeutic.
They are, because it was probably the best thing that my husband could have done in the condition that, you know, I was. And they are therapeutic, and they sense our feelings, like smart. Like, I love to say my dog really is smart. Like, I would come home from the hospital, and I would have an incision, right? So your main thought is, oh, my God, don't let the dog touch me. But it's like he knew, I can't get too close to mommy, you know? Like, there's something not right here. So they are very intelligent and extremely healing. So I really wanted to say, I think that's great. And to continue to surround her if she could have the dog, you know, with her. But you asked me about a light, and it's interesting you said that in the rainbow, because my symbol, when – you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, or, you know, I see a yellow brick road with a rainbow. To me, it's like, you know, you're going down this path, but it's going to get better. There is a rainbow, there is a light, but unfortunately, sometimes, as the expression goes, we have to go through some storms. But I do see their improvement, but I do also see, Barbara, that it's going to take a lot of hard work. A lot of hard work. And I just get the sense, like, you're her rock, and, like, she's your rock. So I just want to say, if you guys can support each other and help each other. And it's going to take a lot of patience, because I just feel we're talking about weeks to months in this rehabilitation.
Oh, yeah.
And then I see even rehabilitation when she's going to be coming home. So whether that's getting PT in the home or making some alterations in the house as well. So I see a lot of changes coming up for her. But I also know that you too don't want her to see you sad, or you want to be strong for her. But know that, you know, What I think the most thing is that someone is in pain. Like, it's not that we want to hear, like, we're going to be okay. I just think it's knowing that we're not going through it alone. So as long as you could, you know, you're talking to her and let her know, you know, you're not in this alone. I am here for you. I think that's what most of us want to hear.
Okay.
We want to hear that we're not in it alone.
For sure. For sure. And that is so interesting that I said, the, you know, light at the end of the rainbow, because you were imagining that at the same time. Wow.
Yes, and that's my symbol. When I see a rainbow, I tell people that's a good sign. Go for it. It's positive. It's the right path. So I mean, it varies in certain situations. But when I see it, I think that she's very determined, and I think you'll push her. I think you're gonna give her that nudge that she needs, and that support that she needs. And I think that's important, because what I've realized just from my own experience and other people, it happens where, you know, we don't know how to help the person, so we just let them be, or I can't do anything for you. So a lot of times in certain situations, more often than not, friendships end or people separate, or because they just don't know how to handle the situation.
They
you know what I mean?
Pull away. They do. They
right.
pull away.
They pull away. So that's why I want to say,
because they feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what to say to the person. They feel like, okay, like I have another person in my life that they know how long they have left to live. So they told me that their family members were pulling away because the family members just didn't know what to say to them. But that's not what they want at all. They don't want somebody to feel awkward or pull away from them. I mean, they want you to face it. They don't want you to act like, push it under the rug, sweep it under the rug at all. They don't want that at all. So I do know that.
Yeah, because it's like this, like someone says, it's like, I don't know what to say. But it's because it's almost like we don't know how to have a conversation with them now. It's like, well, they're in pain, and I don't want to share my good news because I don't want to put them down, or I don't want to, you know, like say the wrong thing. So sometimes people find, well, I just won't say anything, or I just won't come around. But then, you know, that's also lonely, you know, because we're still the same person. We're just going through something, whatever it is. I mean, everybody goes through something. Maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's mental. But that's what I think is important in life. It's to know that you're not alone.
Me too.
And that,
Another thing is when I told a friend about it, a very close friend about it, they said, oh, well, have you told her parents? And I said, well, yes, I told them immediately because, of course, they need to know. Oh, well, I wish you wouldn't have done that. They're getting older and they're, you know, they've got their own health issues. You know what? That is too bad. This is their daughter. That is holding on to life right now. They need to know. They need to know because that is the right thing to do. And I will never feel guilty for telling the family immediately what has happened. And actually the hospital said, well, are you going to call the family? And if you don't want to, we will. I mean, it was something that they needed to know because it was the right thing to do. And so you get these, and you're going through this right by the person's bedside and you're hearing these things, and it just, it was just so hard not to let those things aggravate me, because I'm already tired, I'm already stressed out, and then I hear something that is just, I'm feeling is really ridiculous and stupid, basically, and I have to keep my composure with that. So that just reminds me of how, like, people get torn apart because it becomes like this competition almost, I've noticed, of who can find out more information and who's telling whom and all this. And it's just ridiculous when this person who is laying there fighting for their life.
Right.
Well, that's the issue here, people. Wow.
Exactly. But I think you did the right thing, because I see you, any parent would want to know if something was going on with their child. I don't care how old. Like, I know my parents, and, you know, they worry about me. They care about me. And sometimes they got a lot on their plate, but I see how they are with all the kids. And it's like, no matter what, I don't care what time it is or what day it is, you better call me and if there's something going on. So I think you did the right thing, because I think they would just worry more, you know? And
they would wonder why their daughter's not answering the phone for 3 days. And they would wonder, you know, why didn't she ever come home from her weekend getaway? And I mean, that was just so ridiculous. So, oh my gosh, but they had to be told. And I thought, it's better coming from me because they know me rather than the hospital. So that part, that's done and that's good. But wow, I want to know more about your transformation. I want to know, like, okay, so when all that happened, besides, you know, that was wonderful, giving your kidney and giving life to a little girl, what other things did you experience with your transformation that came from the accident?
Well, so much happened, because not only did I have, like, multiple spine surgeries, I had some rare diagnoses, which actually ended up leading to donating the kidney. So much happened, but I want to say, like, throughout all of this, that's when I truly became awakened. Now, I do believe, like, my gifts were always there from childhood, just because of things I felt and experienced and saw. But depending also growing up, you know, maybe it wasn't normal to talk about or to say. So a lot of things probably got suppressed, and I dealt with a lot of anxiety and all of that. But growing older and having these surgeries, I literally started having all these spiritual experiences, from outer body experiences to seeing things. And I thought, like, okay, I must be on all these pain meds. You know, I must be on all of these medications that I'm, like, starting to see and hear things, you know, and I started to worry. But honestly, it was just all of these feelings or all of these things that were suppressed that started to happen. So, you know, one minute it was like someone came into my life and told me about Reiki, and Reiki was incorporated in my healing. And then the next thing you know, you know, someone mentioned a tarot class, and that was my way. When I was able to, I would have my walker, my cane at that point, and I'd be trying to take a class or a spiritual class. Like, all these things just started coming on my path. I was not looking for it. It was interesting, because I had a reading, you know, I guess we all have that, you know, we call that psychic, and, you know, is everything going to be okay? And I was going for, like, my second spine surgery, and I did the same thing. I'm like, let me call this psychic. Someone, I couldn't even tell you who the name was that had referred me, but someone referred me throughout all of this. And I remember calling this psychic, and here I was at this point going for spine surgery number two in a wheelchair. And the psychic tells me, she's like, you're really psychic. I see you doing this, you know, in the future. Like, I see you giving readings, and I see you doing, and I'm like, this woman's out of her, like, I hung up thinking, what was that woman, like, thinking, right? Here I am, I can barely walk, I'm going to be giving readings? I don't know anything about giving readings or things like that. So it was just interesting. But here I was a couple years after that, and I am doing exactly what she said I was doing, was not looking for it, but things just came into my path, teachers, people, friends. And you know that experience, like, how it goes, like, throughout each chapter of your life, maybe you have those few same people that stay there, but then you have other people that, you know, come into your life for a certain time, and then they introduce you to somebody or something, and then you meet new people.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's just interesting. Yeah, so that was, like, my last few years. I just kept feeling like I'm on this path, and I meet someone, they teach me and open a door. I meet someone, they teach me and open a door. So it was very intriguing, and I just started taking these classes. And then before you knew it, I started doing practice readings, and practice readings grew into somebody referring me. And then I went to go take a class, which I didn't know was a platform class, and platforms actually when you stand up in front of, like, groups of people. And I was petrified. I'm like, there is no way I would stand up, you know, and talk in front of people. Like, I would be nervous. I'd be nervous to do this. So, anyway, I got led, and I didn't realize what kind of class it was. I thought it was just a mediumship class. And the next thing you know, it was actually a platform class. And here I was talking in front of people, and it was an amazing experience. And then that just kind of led me to more people. And throughout all that, too, I became an ordained minister. So that involved a lot of talking in front of people. So, again, not things that I was looking for. I wasn't looking to be an ordained minister. I wasn't looking to be a medium. You know, sometimes you just have to trust that life, God, whatever it is you believe in, has a bigger plan, right? So
I was just going to interject there that I think it was such a blessing, because I read in your bio that you had to keep it quiet when you were growing up as a little girl. You knew you were psychic. You wrote it down as a very young child, but you had to hold it in. And so this accident let it all out, basically. And I feel like that is an amazing transformation and a blessing to you and for everybody else that you help now.
Thank you. Yeah, it was. I still, that diary has a troll on it. And it would say, P.S., you know, I think I'm psychic. And, you know, you say that as a kid. Oh, I knew that. Or how did I know that? And, you know, you do get the, well, it was just a coincidence. But what are the chances, you know? But, you know, you kind of get shut out, but then it gets to the point, like, I'll tell you, my father was skeptical, my husband, but, you know, it, when things are just too close, you know, you just can't make that up. And it's like, okay, wait a minute, she's too right about too many things, you know, or she just knows way too much. You know, how could you possibly describe someone that's not living, for instance? So, yeah, I'm glad
exactly.
that it was able to come out, because when we're going through pain and we're going through, like, well, what do I do with my life now? Where do I go from here? It was, well, you know what? We have a plan for you. So it was just amazing, because it's not just about the readings. It's about the healings and giving hope and inspiration to other people. You know, like, let's say I had spoken to your friend. It's not necessarily about the reading. It would be like, listen, you can get through it, and really sharing your painful experience, but showing, but look what came at the end of it, right? It wasn't like this
right.
10 years
no.
ago. It's taken a lot of hard work. Mentally, physically, and spiritually to get to where I am, but I just trusted and surrendered. Like, I can't be living just to be suffering. There's got to be something else. And there was, and that's when the whole awakening became, when I started to question life and question, why do things happen? And that's when really things just started, my gifts just began to unravel. The more I surrendered
that's
to, wait,
amazing.
There's got to be something more. Thank
now,
you.
The more you surrendered. Wow. Go ahead, Johnny. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was wondering if she'd be open to taking a call right now.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Great.
780.
Thank you.
Oh, 780. Welcome to the show. You are on live with LJ the Medium.
Hi.
This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
So I guess kind of on the topic you've already been talking about, it's been a rough time because my mom has Alzheimer's, so I'm just kind of,
okay.
I'm feeling lonely because I'm kind of by myself and missing that companion. So I think I just kind of almost need that to help me through this right now, because I'm going into a depression and lots of fun stuff
mm-hmm.
on my own. So it's, yeah, whatever
yeah.
you can help me with, I'd appreciate it.
Yes. Absolutely. So, well, I'm sorry that your mom is going through that, but I feel that she's truly blessed to have you, and I feel you're really blessed, you know, to have her. And I can only imagine how lonely it is, because I talk with a lot of people on a daily basis that are going through something with health related, and I understand it could be lonely. So what I would really recommend to you, Michelle, is I understand that you're doing a lot of this on your own, and sometimes it could be hard to delegate or ask someone, you know, for assistance or help. But I really want to give more, you know, guidance to you, Michelle, and for your mom as well. I want you, we can get lost as being caretakers, right? We take care
yeah.
of somebody, and then we kind of forget about Michelle. We kind of forget about who we are. What is it that we like to do? Because we just take on a whole nother role. So the guidance and advice that I could give to you, Michelle, is continue to do something that you love to do. There's mom time, there's caregiving time, but just like anything else, there's time to eat, there's time to sleep, right? So what is
yeah.
it, I would say, something that you could do? And maybe it could be something together with mom, right? I understand she has Alzheimer's, but maybe a craft or maybe something that we can do together. I want you to stay engaged, because what happens is when we do, say, mom's in bed and you get a few minutes to yourself, our mind starts to wander. Or we start thinking about things that are out of our control, right? And then that's where our loneliness and stuff comes in. So I'm not saying you have to spend every minute being hands-on, but I would do something that brings you joy. If that's reading a book, if that's taking a bath, anything that can bring you a little bit of joy and enlightenment to your day, and doing things that you still like to do. So really taking care of yourself, just the way we want to take care of mom, it's very important to take care of Michelle too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, you're very welcome.
Such good advice, because I feel like, I just wrote that to my other best friend that lives far away, my best friend since fourth grade, and I said, it's time for me to take care of myself and my daughter, because you can't ever lose sight of yourself. Because if you're not strong,
right.
then how can you be strong for others? And but when they're passed away, so then there's that whole other wave of emotion that is going to affect our life, the living. So is there advice
yeah.
that you could give our caller, Michelle, about, you know, and in all of us who are going to be losing our loved ones in the future, what do we do to then comfort our own selves?
Right. So one, I want to say when we're a caregiver in any situation, you know, it's easy to get burnt out. It's easy to get lost in taking care of other people that we don't take care of ourselves. But the best thing I could say too is, you know, our loved ones, we never know what tomorrow brings, right? I didn't know I'd go into work and I'd be hurt, or people don't know when certain things hit us unexpectedly. So that's where I really like to say to really embrace the time that we have with our loved ones. You know, do something, you know, make a photo album together, look through pictures. Like, I like to say embrace the time that we do have with them, right? Because I understand when we talk with loved ones on the other side, they come through, and what are they sharing? And a lot of readings, what are they sharing? They're sharing the memories that they had with their loved ones. You know, the feeling that they had, how you left them. So we want to make them feel as good as we can, but they also want to see us feeling good and happy too. They don't want to see, oh no, I'm stressing her out, I'm making her tired, or anything like that. That's not what they want either. But that's why I say find balance. Finding balance is extremely important, and really just embrace time, you know, that we do have, and really learning the patience together. But that's why I think it's important to be there for them, but be there for yourself too. And
but what
time.
If we're not
and,
near them? What if we're like stayed away? Right.
Yeah.
Well, then,
stayed
right.
away
so
from
exactly.
them. Doesn't want to talk to me.
So if you're saying like as
me.
Far as distance, if we live far away, as far as distance,
yeah.
you mean?
Yes.
Well, I think it's important, just like anything else. Sometimes, you know, we have relatives that do live far away, but that's why I think, you know, keeping those traditions, calling, checking in on them, you know, sending a card, sending flowers, sending, you know, care packages. I mean, it is hard, and it's nobody's fault, you know, when we're distant and far away. But really, the thing that we could do is the best that we can do. What is the best that we can do? You know, if we can visit, wonderful. If not, what can we do to make this person's day better or make them feel a little lighter and like love?
But those
were
good
we're still with them.
Ideas. Mm-hmm. Those were good ideas, though, the photo albums and look through the computer and find all those special photos that you enjoy together. And that's touching to the person who is going through the situation. But with Michelle's mom, my heart goes out to you because she, when they have Alzheimer's, they aren't themselves. And like she
that's
said,
right.
she wouldn't even talk to her. But and that's so hurtful and sad. But I mean, okay, then you're saying, LJ, there's a meaning for everything. So, but why? Why? What's the meaning of this one?
Why someone would have Alzheimer's?
Yes.
That's a very, very hard question. I couldn't tell you why I got hurt. I can't tell you why someone's ill or why there's a coronavirus going on. Like, you know, I don't know why there's certain things that are, you know, out of our control. And that's very unfortunate. But I believe it's making the best of the time that we have here. Because if someone was like, you're out tomorrow, but did you live your best life? Do you feel that you gave your all and you did everything you could? So again, I can't say, oh, I know why she got Alzheimer's. That's, you know, I can't say why do people get cancer. I think that's it's horrible. I think it's awful that anyone has to go through any pain and any kind of illness. But I believe that there's always plan or, you know what I mean? Why it's hard to answer that, right? Because it's not, no one deserves it. No one should have that. No one should have that illness.
I do, but I'm thinking this planet that we live on is just so strange because of these things that are put in front of us. And then, because we never can have the answer to the why. And that's so frustrating.
Right. It is. I wish I could say that. I wish I could say, well, why did my life, you know, why did that happen? And I think that's something that we always ask. But something connected to Alzheimer's, because I know a few people, you know, that are you know, have family members with Alzheimer's. And, you know, from what I hear is just keep not to treat them any different. You know, so I know someone who's like, I just go along with it because I know from understanding from other people, it's like they're not themselves or they believe like the daughter is the mother. And from what I understand, they kind of just go with that role. I'm not saying everybody does the same thing, but they kind of just go with it, you know. So it's not, she goes to me, I don't exhaust myself by saying I'm not your mom or, you know, daddy died and then kind of having to repeat that because that could be painful for yourself. And the person,
okay.
So what they do is they kind of go along with it and just kind of embrace and just let it be and just take it as it comes.
Let's ask Michelle if that's what she's been doing. What have you been doing as in regards to communication with your mom? Do you correct her when she's confused, or do you go along with it? How are you dealing with that?
Oh, it's hard. And that's how I was in the beginning. And then now, like even at Christmas time, I called her at Christmas and she wouldn't even talk to me. She just says, tell her I'm busy. Aww. So I can't even have a conversation. So that's probably why I'm grieving, because I'm never going to have a conversation with her again. Right. Yeah.
Like she's already, my heart, you're grieving. Like she's already gone. She's grieving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to you, Michelle. It really does.
Me too.
Thanks.
Me
you.
Too.
How far,
thank you.
How far are you and your mother right now? Are you in different states?
Oh, she's in a different province, yeah. So she's about 4,000 kilometers away, so about 2,000 miles.
Okay.
So for me to take a trip there and her to be nasty to me, it's just not something I can handle, right? I've already.
Okay, right. And that's
tough.
True. And it's, you want to do what's best for them, but you also want to do, you know, what's best for you. And that is a tough situation. And again, my heart goes out to you. And
thank you.
I will keep you in my thoughts.
Thank you all. I appreciate
but
it.
But all you
bless
could
me.
Do too is just keep calling and loving her and send. And I always say to people, we could send love and light. Everybody could do it. So just continue to send that love and light. And thank you for calling.
And thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank
you. Also, I think that if she and everybody else just continues to do what you say, LJ, and continue just putting the effort in with good intention, you know, at least that will cause us to not have any regrets in our own life, that we have done everything we can do for them. So then at least that emotion is not going to be in the equation. But it is a very strange disease, this. My uncle passed away from that as well. But sometimes they get nicer. Sometimes they get mean. Sometimes they don't recognize
but then,
you.
And I think that's got to be hard. And, again, I can't really connect with this. But, you know, like, you know, not being able to be recognized. And, you know, it's just it's painful no matter what. Just, I don't know Michelle personally, just hearing, that's painful. You know, you're calling to talk to mom and you can't. So it's very, very painful. Grieving someone that's still here, I can't even imagine. So, and I wish I had answers as to what about very rare conditions. Like I was diagnosed with very rare conditions and I couldn't tell you why, you know, I just had to try and find the silver lining. You know, through it. So you had read the bio, but as far as my kidney, it wasn't my first choice to go donate a kidney. It was, I had this kidney condition and I was trying to, I had surgery for it, which failed. And they said that my kidney has to come out after that failed surgery. So I looked at it as, well, what can I do? I made it this far, you know, can I donate my kidney, which was something I was able to do. So
and you came up with the idea? Did you come up with the idea to donate?
I did. So I was the first. So I had this rare condition, but I was trying to turn something negative into something positive, which led me towards organ donation, which was truly amazing, which saved somebody's life. So here I was treating my condition and saving someone's life. So again, this was a treatment that had never been done before. I was the first patient at New York Presbyterian Hospital to go forward with this. So here we are, you know, being advocates, and now six other people, a dozen have gone through it, but six other official people with my condition called Nutcracker Syndrome have actually donated as well now. So I've been able to take my pain. Yes, thank you. So my painful experience and others now are able to do it. And I'm raising a lot of awareness with the National Kidney Foundation and trying to get this, you know, diagnosis or this treatment known, because there's only so much we know about diseases. There's only so much we know about treatment. So I was the first patient to go forward with this. So that's where I'm at sharing my story.
Well, is there a foundation for this that you could let the listeners know about that so they could try to support this? Nutcracker, is it called Nutcracker disease, you said?
Yeah, it's called Nutcracker Syndrome. And right now
syndrome.
I've been, Nutcracker Syndrome. So I've been working a lot or volunteering a lot and raising awareness with the National Kidney Foundation. So
okay.
I'm trying to get out there, you know, an opportunity like this, sharing my story. I belong to a lot of support groups as well. And we're doing a lot of that. I actually have an event coming up in April. I'm celebrating my 2-year kidneyversary. And with that, I'm adding an event with the vice president of the National Kidney Foundation is going to be there. And, you know, we're doing as much as we can, just really trying to get the word out, work with the hospital.
Actually,
but, you know,
I want to say
yep.
something. You know, it's funny. I work for an organization on when I'm not doing this called the American Kidney Society. And what we do is we actually will take things at your house, like clothing and things and toys. And then what we do is we sell them at a thrift store. And then the money that we get from the thrift store goes to help people like you.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that. I love that. That's truly tremendous. And I think that's all we could do is continue to make efforts. So with the event coming up in April as well, I'm doing a restaurant, and the net proceeds are actually being donated to the National Kidney Foundation. But I appreciate you sharing that with me. I'll have to look into also to the American Kidney Society. So, you know, we're trying
that's
to do different
wonderful.
Things, trying to raise awareness and funds. Yes.
You know why? Because most of the diseases and syndromes out there, the only thing that's stopping from finding cures or more help is money. So they need raising awareness, which you and Johnny are doing, that helps so much to get more funding for research to help find cures. So that is that right there. Okay, that's just right there is your life transformation experience that helps
right.
the world, basically. And you've
right.
had many, and that's just one of them. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Way too many. But at the end of the day, I always try and find you know, the light through it all. And sometimes it's like we don't know why things happen or we don't know what causes disease, but, you know, we can try and do things and try something new and, you know, experiment. And like you said, raise funds so we can get to the answers. You know, I hope there is a day where we do get to see a cure for cancer or, you know, other diseases. You know, I pray to God that we do. But in the meantime, it's exactly what it is, just trying our best and, you know, doing what we can. So that's where I'm at. You know, I like to share what I can.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Would you like to take another call?
Sure.
Okay. 925 is the area code.
Hi, everyone. This is Terry.
Hi, Terry. Welcome to the show. You're on
Thank
live
you.
With LJ the Medium. Welcome to the
Thank
show.
You. Hi, LJ. I'm feeling really stuck, really stuck. So I don't know if maybe, I just wonder if maybe my grandmother has some advice for me or you.
Okay, awesome. So let me see what I could feel into that. But I understand you're feeling stuck, but they're also showing me being in a place of transition. So I feel like you've had a big life change or we're going through a big life change, Carrie. But they are showing me, or what I'm picking up on as well, is I want to tell you to, you know, find balance, okay? And I feel like this is a message that a lot of us can connect with. But I feel like I need for you to reconnect again. Do you understand that? Like, I feel like we need to find what is it that we like to do again. We've had these life changes. We've gone through so much. But what is it that I want now? Where in my life do I want to be? But also, they just keep taking me to health. So I feel like either we're on our verge of making healthy choices, and especially since we're talking about health tonight and a lot of things healthy. But I just keep feeling like I want to find balance. And I also feel like I want to tell you to disconnect but reconnect. And what I mean by that is I just keep feeling that you go above and beyond. I just keep getting the sense like you're always there for everybody else. And I kind of feel like I got to take a deep breath. I feel like I have to find a deep breath because we get lost again in taking care of and doing for so many other people. So I just keep feeling like I want to tell you to disconnect to connect, Carrie. And they just keep bringing me to balance, but they are showing me too new beginnings happening. So I feel like I feel like you're going to start feeling better in May. So right now, I don't know if we're alone, and I understand it's winter and everything like that, but I just keep feeling like a breath of fresh air coming your way in May. And do you like to spend time outdoors or by the water?
Yes, very much.
Okay, because I feel like that's really good for you, like just very therapeutic for you. Sometimes it doesn't always have to be like we need to be doing things. Sometimes we just need to be, right, and just being in the present and just allowing things to just happen and unfold. And also, I keep seeing cooking. So are you someone who likes to cook, or are we experimenting with cooking? I see a lot of kitchen stuff.
I like to cook if I don't have to cook.
All right, because I just keep seeing, like, you know, sometimes we're home and we get messing around in the kitchen. So I just feel like, you know, experiment and try new things, and getting out of a pattern of things should be like this or things should be like that. And that's what I just keep feeling, is I really just want to tell you to have more fun and just really, you know, just be. There doesn't have to be like a motive to do something. You know what I mean? Like, I just keep getting, you want to go for a walk? Go for a walk. You want to cook and try a new recipe? Like, go for it. Like, I want you to find that fire in you again, that adventure side, like that child side in you, like really just trying to go out and have fun. Because I don't feel like we're having a lot of fun. I feel like either we're busy or we're alone, but I want to tell you to like find that medium. Okay. And it just keeps showing me being healthy. So I feel like May coming, we're going out for more walks, or we're going out for a jog, you know, we're trying to eat right. So they're showing me, like, they are showing me balance. I know you're feeling stuck right now, Carrie, but they are showing me things calming down for you and new things coming up.
I have started walking, making it a practice to do it
perfect.
At least 4 to 5 times a day. I really want to lose weight. I've been very lonely. I lost my husband during the summertime.
Oh,
and
so sorry.
I'm feeling really stuck, and I'm really being guided to. I keep getting that I'm supposed to work on my gifts, but I feel so stuck.
Right. No, absolutely. It's when we lose somebody close to us, and you know we're going, and that's again that major life change, which it is. It's kind of where do we go from here, right? So learning that adventure again, and I understand you're grieving too, but also, you know, again finding that what makes you happy. That doesn't mean we're going on without our loved ones. It just means that we just have to keep, you know, moving forward, but they're right there with us, Carrie. And just, again, I think that's great that you're doing the walking, and I just feel like that's validation that you are getting healthy and you're on the right path of finding that balance. You're determined to make these changes of eating healthy, and, you know, you want it, so I feel like your intention and your motive is all there to want to feel good and be better. And again, I want to bring you outside of the house more. So maybe we're inside so much, but I want to tell you to go outside more, talk to people, be around like-minded people. If those gifts are something that you want to explore, look into some books. I'm happy to give you a book recommendation. You know, like, explore what it is. What is your soul calling you to do, Carrie? And, you know,
I know this morning when I was sitting at work, I just really got really clear. I don't want to do that anymore. I just don't want to do it. I just go, and it's automatic, and I don't really want to be there. And I just don't want to do that anymore.
Right. And it's just like all of a sudden we become on autopilot. And it's interesting because right before you were saying that, I literally wrote down new jobs. So I feel like there's going to be something else that's calling to you. Now, I don't know what you do, but I keep seeing smaller children or young children, so I'm not sure where the care is or where the connection is to younger kids with you.
I don't know. I think that would drive me crazy.
Okay, well, I just remember that I said it because sometimes I feel like sometimes being around children, it brings out that excitement in us and that adventure in us and, you know, that playfulness in us. So I do feel that around you. I do feel younger. I just feel youth. I feel connected to like a youth environment with you. But I feel like that's going to open you up again. And again, it could be something on the side. It could be that you're watching friends' children or something. But that's just something that I just keep picking up with you. But I do see you just, we're in a period of soul searching. So I don't want you to say you're stuck, Carrie. I want you to look at it as in more of I'm in a soul transition. I'm finding where my next chapter is, what's coming next for me. And I think it's great to just continue to be open, continue to explore. You know, this is your life. This is your opportunity to do whatever it is that makes you happy. And Carrie, I also just want to say, I just keep seeing red cardinals. So I don't know how you connect with them, but they just keep popping up.
Like the bird, red cardinal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. I don't know.
Okay. So I just keep seeing these
That's
red cardinals, but yeah. Well, they're very spiritual animals too, but I just keep seeing that around you as well. So really just trying to spread your wings, get out there more, get outside more, get outdoors more, connect with people more, and, you know, start looking for new work or that. But just keep your heart open, and
okay.
I just feel you're going to have a lot of spiritual growth coming up in the next few months.
Thank you so much, Elgin.
You're so
welcome.
I send you lots of love and blessings. Thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm. Take care.
That's wonderful. That's really good advice, too, because when I'm down and I feel really like an icky day is happening, if I just go outside for even a few seconds, it lifts my spirits, or get into the shower and get the water on me that's so healing, I really feel like it changes the whole day around.
Yeah, because you're grounded. When we're grounded, it's completely different. When we're not grounded, that's when we're bumping into things and the car won't start and everything just starts to go haywire, you know? But when you're grounded, we start feeling in balance, feeling good. We start feeling, okay, I'm ready for the next chapter. I'm ready for today. But when we're not grounded, it's like, oh my God, everything's going wrong. What am I going to do now? The computer won't turn on. My phone just died, right? Everything just, everything around us, because everything is energy. Everything is energy.
Attracting.
So how we feel affects,
we're attracting that.
Yeah.
So then one thing after the other, and don't even say what I just said either, people. Don't even say that. Don't put that into the universe. But also, I would like to say that I've been doing reading. You know, I used to compete competitively for years, ballroom dancing, and I was spinning, and I was lifting weights, and I had a personal trainer, and I did all that. And yes, I was in tip-top shape, but, you know, it's not, you don't have to do all that to stay pretty in shape. I heard you only have to walk briskly for 30 minutes a day, 20 to 30 minutes a day, walk. And how beneficial walking is. And then just mix that with the eating really healthily, and you would be very surprised.
Oh, 100%, because walking, right, cardiovascular, our heart is doing so much work. So really you want to keep the blood flowing. You want to keep moving. And it's interesting because I think people always about the diet and the exercise, but from what I've read and researched, 80% is of what you're eating. That 20% is the exercise part, but 80% is what about your eating?
Definitely. It really is. It is, because when you're overweight and you go and work out really hard and you see no results, that is that's discouraging. Oh, wow, I worked this hard and nothing's happening. It's the diet is the main thing you've got to change. And, of course, keep
1,000%.
Yep.
1,000%.
And people don't even know about when you weightlift. They think, oh, that's just building muscles. But weightlifting, not heavily, but just normal weightlifting also, is really burning the calories. And that's way easier than going to do like some kind of huge aerobic 45-minute high-energy pumping kickboxing, you know? And so people need to just know that, research that, because – that can really help just to be more educated with that. And I know we're talking about more of the paranormal today with you, but why not some just basic real life
you know, stuff too.
Well, that's what I always say, spirit guides us to what needs to be said, to something that maybe somebody needs to hear. So I'm always open to wherever the conversation goes, you know.
Yeah, and I read that you really like yoga too, and that's so important. And that's
I do.
Is yoga meditation? Is that like a form of meditation?
It's a form of meditation. It is. I love yoga just to feel like grounded and just feel, you know, relaxed for me, you know, turning our minds off because they're always going, you know. But I love yoga and I love exercising too. You know, one, I had to learn to love fitness because with my spine, my doctor's like, you have to work out for the rest of your life because you need a stable spine. So one, it's just something that I have to do, but I also love to do. I love yoga. I just try and love to be active. I'm not someone who likes to just sit. I have to like
right.
move. And then when you're sitting for so many years, you get to the point where you just like, okay, wait, I'm okay now. I could do this. I could do that. You know, you want, it's almost like you're trying to catch up for lost time. But I like to be busy. I like to engage and do things and talk to people and help people.
Right. And
that
gets you
so.
Out in your yoga class too. And I'm looking right at your website right now. And I want to tell the listeners where to go to find you. It's LJ the Medium, and that's just LJTheMedium.com. So easy to find you so that they could contact you directly for more thorough counseling or readings and see what events you have coming up, and all your services that you offer are right there. And you're on Facebook and Twitter, I see, or no, Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. You can connect right
easy
there on
remember.
Your website to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, LJ the Medium. It's fun. You know, I offer private readings and group readings. And I do lives on Facebook every Wednesday. So my Facebook page, LJ the Medium, I do live readings during the week on Wednesdays at 8 Eastern time. So that's always fun.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. I was going to ask what time. So 8 Eastern, you can tune in live. I love that feature on Facebook
right?
as well. The
right?
live.
It's
that's,
fun.
Yeah, I love it.
Fun. So I kind of do like tonight, I try and do, yeah, I like to give as many readings as I can. So that's tomorrow night, actually. So I'll be giving live readings.
That's awesome.
Would you like
fun.
Yes.
So would you like to take another caller?
Sure, take another caller.
Okay. 775, you're on the air.
775, welcome to the show. You're on with Medium LJ, LJ the Medium. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. LJ, it's an honor to meet you. I admire your courage and what a beautiful soul you are.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. That really means a lot to me. Thank you.
Well, God bless you. And
I truly appreciate
that. I mean that from my heart. My name is Wendy LJ, and I was in a horrific car accident over 30 years ago, and it's a miracle that I could walk again. And and then about a year and 8 months ago, I was in the backseat of a yellow cab, and there was a rear end collision. So I've been able to lead a fairly normal life, but I have spondylosis of the thorax.
Yes.
And lumbar reason, and I've been off work since the 15th day of January. I'm really smart about providing all the paperwork so that hopefully my job will be preserved. They've got tons of backup proof with MRIs and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I work in a medical insurance field on the phone, and I speak mm-hmm. to patients. And I want to hold off starting my Social Security at least until February. Will I keep my current job and be able to hold off starting Social Security until February?
Yes, I'm seeing yes. I do see your work being held. I do see all the appropriate documentation and all that you need to do. So I do feel that you're in a good place, but not so much because I'm sorry to hear everything that you've been going through and what you had to endure as well, because I know pain, chronic pain, anything is not easy to deal with. So, but I do feel everything, I just feel like everything's on hold right now, so I don't feel that there's not much else that you need to do as far as Social Security or anything like that. So I feel everything is okay with your job.
When will I
return
back?
Sure everything. Sorry?
I need to make sure my paperwork's in order, is probably what you were telling me.
That's exactly what I was saying. Like, get it in earlier than later. I just feel like you don't want to miss anything like that. So I just keep feeling that's what I really want to push you to do. Just make sure everything is on time, and I think it should be fine.
Okay. And my doctor, when do you see me going back to work? Frankly, I'd like to stay off work until December, but my doctor is the captain of the ship.
Okay. So he's the one who's in charge. And you said September,
she's a very intelligent little Asian lady, and she's helped me so much. But she's really, I think she finally has compassion and understanding of my health issues with my back. How long will she continue to approve me off work? Will it be another month or through December or?
Right. So I keep seeing, I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing, but I always tell people anything can change, right? Anything can happen any day. But I keep being shown 3 to 4, so 3 to 4 months. So that's, anything can change, could be more or less, but that's just what I'm picking up on right now.
And that's fine. And I share an apartment with my sister, Leslie. Our lease is up at the end of June, but I also have to get my Chapter 7 squared away because we could still be approved for a new apartment as long as the trustee has discharged the Chapter 7. So do you mm-hmm. see me signing a new lease with my sister, Leslie, at a new apartment building this summer, or will it be more towards December?
No, I'm feeling it's much sooner than that, actually. I'm feeling a move much sooner. I don't feel you staying where you are right now. I feel you moving into a completely new building. Like, I just keep seeing, like, a clean slate. So I'm feeling that much sooner.
And that'll be, my sister, Leslie, and I will be signing a lease together?
I'm not feeling it together right now. Anything can change, but I'm not sure that it's together. I feel like we're close by, but I'm not sure that we're staying together.
Well, in the apartment that we have right now, we're on opposite sides of the apartment, but it's one apartment.
Oh, okay. Then that makes a little bit more sense because I feel like we're close, but not in the same space. So I don't know if it's similar to that situation or we're on like two, you know, down the hallway. But I just feel I'm showing a separate space.
But will she and I be signing a lease together?
I'm feeling separate. I know there's always free will, right? So what I'm feeling, but I'm feeling separate.
Yeah, I think financially it would help both of us, and I'm not sure that she has the availability financially to afford a place on her own.
Okay.
But,
well, I don't know. We'll see. Situations change, but, you know, it could be that I'm picking up on just separate. Like you said, you're living separate right now. But, you know, it's whatever's going to work out for the both of you at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, I think that I would be very lonely. She's my only family right now. So I hope that we do end up signing a new lease together. I wish it could be a place called The Reserve, but there are other nice apartments. Primary care doctor wrote a script for a wheelchair because mm-hmm. with this last incident, it was miraculous that I could even get back into the hospital for imaging. I'm a little bit more mobile now, but the woman in DME erased the order, and she seems to feel that she can override what my doctor says. So I am working with entities that say they can help me. Will I be able to get the wheelchair, or what's going to happen?
Yes. No, I see you getting it. Yes, you will have that. It's
okay.
Very important, too. So I think that that's very vital and important in your care. But, yes, you will have that. And I'm sorry you're going through this, and I thank you for calling, and I wish you the best of health and a smooth transition when you move.
Yeah, I hope it's with my sister. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Right. Thank you for calling.
Wendy does call our show a lot. I love to hear from her. And it's so wonderful to be a part of a show that you have your regulars that call and kind of monitor their life with them as they go through and watch what happens. And Wendy's story, this is going to be very interesting to see what happens. Thank you, Wendy, so much for calling all the time. So then we can follow along and then see what happens and see the miracles that are about to happen in your life. Because look, it is about balance, isn't it, LJ? I mean,
absolutely.
If it's going down, doesn't it have to come back up?
Exactly. Exactly. We can't stay down, but there's also things that we need to do to move things along as well. You know, it's interesting because I always give this example, but when someone asks me, you know, am I going to move? Do you see me getting a new house? Now, the medium or the psychic can say, yeah, I see it, right? But there's things that we need to do to move it along. Did you sell the house that you are at now? Did you start looking for a new house? So we all need to, you know, make moves. We all need to push things along that we want to happen. So, you know, if you're not feeling well, and it's important that, you know, you go to your doctor's appointments, that you do the activities and whatever it is that you're meant to do. You know, if you're trying to be healthier, be mindful of what you're eating. So a lot of things are not in our control, but there are some things that are. And those are the things that we need to focus on. Yes, being proactive 100%.
Like people want to find love, but they sit around in their apartment and don't go out. Well,
that's correct.
To make it, the universe
that's
is
correct.
Going to put a hard job on the universe then to
right.
make that happen.
And that part of it is helping ourselves too. You know, making things happen for ourselves. You want something, we have to go and get it. And it's not going to be easy. It's never, you know, what is easy, right? So, but there are certain things that we have to do. And I always tell people, you won't know until you try. So you have to kind of, you know, help yourself along the way and give yourself what it is that you need, what you're looking for.
Yes. Great advice. And this was like perfect timing for me personally,
yes.
having you on the show. And so thank you so much. I actually feel
you're welcome.
More up. I really do. I feel a little surge of energy. I feel up. Like
good.
I feel like, okay, I can handle this. I am strong. Sometimes
you
my
will.
Mind is
you
very
will.
Strong, but my body is weaker, but that's just because my sleep has been interrupted. So it's so great that you pointed out to please take care of yourself,
because
physically we can't keep up with the way our mind wants us to be, you know. So the physical, taking care of the eating properly and this getting your sleep, and then you'll just, the mind, body, and spirit will be in balance.
Exactly. So it's a lot of work. Life is work. Health is work, you know, and I know you'll get through it, and I'll definitely keep Dear Friend on my, you know, my healing list. I like to do that every month. I add names to a healing list, so I will certainly keep Your Friend in my healing as well.
Oh, thank you. And when we do say work, you know what, work is fun. I'd rather have work than have nothing. You know, I love, like you. I'm like you. I like to be busy. That's inspirational. There's no boredom around here, that's for sure. So we're
right.
at the fun. It is fun. Life is fun. So I pick up on a lot of things when people call too. And it's, of course they're going to call with their problems. So I'm
mm-hmm.
saying that. But my advice would be try to find what is positive going on in your life. And think about that half the time as well. Don't always think about the problems, right? Because we're magnets to our thoughts, not just about what we say verbally, but it's really important, our thinking as well, right?
Oh, 100%. Well, our minds are powerful, right? It does what we tell it to do. So that's why it's very important that we're quite careful about the thoughts that we feed our mind. So I always say to people, yeah, it's about feeding your body and what you're putting in your body, but what are you feeding your mind? If you're going to tell yourself you can't do something, if you can't, make things happen, then that's what's going to happen. But if you feed your mind positivity, it's like the law of attraction, eventually it believes it, right? So it's important
right,
to be aware of what we're saying to ourselves. Because self-talk, I mean, we talk with ourselves more than anybody on a daily basis. If from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you go to bed, all you're doing is constantly talking to yourself.
Right. And that's why the meditation is so important too, right? The meditation is very important too, to empty our minds so then we can actually, you know, let the good thoughts come in. Because sometimes I wasn't even ready for a show. Maybe I was busy. And then it's a really, really intense show. And I can't quite connect with the medium very well because my mind was too full. And I feel like, okay, I should have meditated right beforehand, empty out everything, so therefore I could absorb this and make it really more worthwhile. So don't forget to meditate as well, everybody. And so, wow, this is an amazing. And we're so glad to have met you. And thank you, Johnny, for finding me.
Thank you.
Me.
Likewise.
Okay.
Yeah,
or
thank
how
you for
you
finding
find
me
you?
On
yeah.
Instagram.
Oh, he found you? Oh, cool.
Yeah,
thanks,
he found me on social media. That's the good thing about social media these days.
Oh, yeah.
Connecting
it's
with
wonderful.
People. Yeah,
it
so
really
thank
is.
You for... Thank you for inviting me on, and I hope you found it. I'm glad that you said you were feeling lighter and better.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy about that.
And I feel some connection with Wendy, too, with Wendy, because she does call in a lot and takes advantage of our complimentary readings that we have and all of the different people, and I connect with her, and I just want her to say, hey, because she wants, and the reserve I think she wants to live in, I remember I wanted to live somewhere so badly, and I drove by a complex every single day and just stared at it and said, I want to live there. I'm going to live there.
Yeah.
I'm going to live there.
Yeah.
I'm going to live there. And it happened. It took 3 months of doing that, though.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And I lived there for 4 years, and it was on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills, and I did it. And I had that dream since I was 12 years old, and my dad brought us to California for a vacation, and we went and drove around Beverly Hills for a day, and I had that in the back of my mind. And by the time I was 30 years old, or maybe 29, I had a Rodeo Drive address. It was all my thinking. Mm-hmm. It was definitely
all my
thinking.
Wow, that's what you're like, I'm going to have that. Your mind was set on it, your heart was set on it, and you're like, I'm getting it, you know? So it's amazing when we really believe our own thoughts.
It really is. And also, she knows exactly what she wants. And that's another thing with manifesting. I feel like if you know details, aren't details very important to think about and write down and just know the details about what you want? Because when my life was just kind of in limbo and nothing was really happening and it was a depressing time, it's because I didn't really know. What do I really want? And when I focus on, what do I really want? Now I want to live in Huntington Beach. I focused, and that took 1 year.
Wow.
And now I'm here.
Beautiful.
I've been here for almost
That's
a year
amazing.
Now. Yes.
Oh, wow. So it's nice and warm by you right now?
Well, it is amazing, isn't it, LJ?
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is.
It is. It really is.
So, we have an hour show, and we went over a little bit. We won't we don't want to take up too much of your time, but I just want the listeners and have you all know where to go find LJ. And I think your website is amazing. So LJ, it's done very well. And you're beautiful,
you.
By the way. You're a gorgeous, beautiful woman. I'm so glad that everything's worked out for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I truly appreciate your kind words and having me on the show and being able to connect with some live callers and sharing my story. So I really thank you for that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So everybody go to ljthemedium.com, connect with her on Facebook. Tomorrow she has a live Facebook show where she's giving readings at 8 p.m. Eastern. So try to get to that. And because tomorrow we don't have a show, right, Johnny, on Wednesdays? So it's perfect. Go over and get with LJ.
Okay.
Because on Wednesdays we don't broadcast. So
That's perfect. Everything's working out perfectly.
Oh, there you go. I hope you'll tune in and watch then.
Yeah. Oh, that would be so fun. That would be fun. What was Johnny going to say? Johnny, what were you going to say?
No, I didn't say anything. I was just double checking. We do not have a show tomorrow, so we don't. So.
Okay, because it's Wednesday. All right, so hold on, you guys, 10 seconds, and I'm going to close the show. I just want to give a shout-out. So for everybody
Thank
who would
you.
Like to listen to the yeah, anybody who wants to listen to the show again, they will be able to find it on our YouTube channel, Life, Laughter, Happiness. And when you're there, please do not forget to subscribe. We appreciate your support. And you'll find all of the other shows to listen to as well. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and our Facebook page to find out what's coming next on Thursday. So, well, we know what's coming next on Thursday. We have Psychic Dale Shear, so we're always excited about that as well. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And it was so wonderful meeting you, LJ.
It was so wonderful meeting you both, too. Thank you again for having me. And I'm sending lots of love and strength to your friend for a speedy recovery.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So have a great night. And thank you, Johnny, and everybody out there. Have
thank
a great
you.
Night.
Thank
okay.
you. Have a great night. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Barbara. Good night, OJ.
Good night, Johnny.